Obviously, it's been a ridiculously intense news cycle on the national level, you know, even starting with the presidential debate, which obviously we know is a fiasco for the sitting president. And then we had an assassination attempt on a former president who happens to be now the nominee for the Republican Party. And then we have the Republican convention. We had J.D. Vance tabbed as the vice presidential candidate for the Republican Party. And then we'll have, you know, Trump speaking on Thursday, and then later in the month we'll have the Democratic convention. And it sounds like reports this morning that the DNC is going to move forward with supporting Joe Biden as the nominee. And there's so much to discuss. We're always grateful to have a few minutes with Second District Congressman Joe Courtney. Congressman Courtney, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Brian.
You know, I want to get into East Hartford and yesterday. It's important stuff, yeah. Too. I mean, I'm not gonna ignore that for sure. I do want to ask you though. I mean, these are obviously, it seems like so many times they're unprecedented. But you know, I have two questions really. Like, what is the statute of limitations on sort of getting back to normalcy in terms of the political dialogue, which is, you know, being able to be critical of someone like, you know, Trump and his candidacy? And also, like, do you know J.D. Vance? I know it's different chambers. There's not a lot of cross-pollinization. He's only been there for 2 years. I mean, do you have any insight into him?
So on the first question, I mean, it has to happen yesterday. I mean, people are going to have lots of opinions, and there's certainly an investigation going on about, you know, what drove this individual act, but there's no question that the environment we're in has really reached a pitch level that is just not conducive to a democratic process, but also obviously even physically a threat to not just candidates, but to people who want to go out and express their First Amendment rights. And you know, and it begins in terms of how you change that. I mean, the one sort of, you know, faint light of civility and hope was the fact that the two candidates actually talked to each other, which I thought was really encouraging. They're never going to be friends. They're never going to, become golfing buddies or whatever. But the bottom line is that, you know, it has to start with, in my opinion, the principles in terms of just how they behave and how they act towards each other, because it does. People take a cue from that in terms of just their own language and their own behavior that's out there. We also need to get to the bottom of what the hell happened that day. Because, I mean, the fact that this guy got so close, is completely unacceptable. And, you know, so far the sort of finger pointing, well, that wasn't our jurisdiction. It was the local police, which is one of the responses from the Secret Service. I mean, I'm sorry. That's another aspect here in terms of trying to build confidence for the public. And so, you know, the Republicans have already started the process in terms of an oversight investigation. I enthusiastically support it. And the president also came out and talked about an independent investigation because, again, it just, you know, we've seen the interviews with the people in the crowd. This just never should have happened.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we don't want to go too far backward. I want to move forward. But, I mean, there's obviously the people who are there outside the perimeter who were actively noticing what was going on, and no one paid heed to it. There's, you know, there's video of it and so on and so forth. And, I mean, do you ever feel unsafe? I mean, obviously a much lower profile, no offense, but, I mean, is it ever an issue for you?
You know, I don't really give it much thought, to be perfectly honest with you. And, you know, we have a network with the police department in Norwich, you know, which keeps an eye on our district office and Enfield, where we have a satellite office. The Vernon police, you know, are just a terrific group, and I've known them for years. And but again, it's not like, you know, a fortress, you know, in terms of, you know, any of those locations, and I'm totally comfortable with it.
We're all soft targets. I mean, let's be honest about it. We're talking with Joe Courtney, Congressman in the 2nd District here. Just real quick, because I want to get to East Hartford. J.D. Vance, any interactions, any knowledge of the man?
I mean, honestly, zero. He was elected in 2022, and you know, the difference between the House and the Senate in terms of just interaction is very different than the General Assembly, where you have joint committees and, you know, people interact all the time. So I don't know the gentleman.
Yeah. Okay. So yesterday it was you and I don't understand yet. Was yesterday like a job fair? Was it a conference? I mean, what happened in East Hartford? I mean, you're trying to obviously continue to have the right labor force so you can make sure you can get this stuff done on time. I mean, these contracts are massively important. What was yesterday?
So basically, it was a kickoff by the submarine industrial base office, which is a Navy office that has been stood up really over the last 3 or 4 years, recognizing that the industrial base, whether it's the size of the workforce or the supply chain companies, you know, was degraded and deteriorated to an unacceptable level. Again, last year, 5,300 hires down at EB, about 35% in Rhode Island, 65% in Connecticut. In the first 6 months of this year, another 2,500 hires have already gone through the gate down there, and they are on pace to double last year's numbers. They are adding supply chain companies, but if you just sort of look at the projections as far as the amount of tonnage that has to go through the system, they need to expand the radius of where they're recruiting, both in terms of people. It's not just in Groton, but it's also in small firms like one in Vernon, who was at the roundtable we had yesterday, B&L Industries. And the submarine industrial base office, which has gotten very strong funding over the last 4 years or so, is going to be able to assist, job recruitment in the Hartford area, which, again, there were folks there from the Hartford Workforce Board that does job training, as well as, folks that are connected to the school systems that are there. They did this already in Providence, Rhode Island, because the Quonset shipyard, which is in a more remote part of Rhode Island, believe it or not, there are remote areas in Rhode Island. Anyway, they started recruiting in Providence. It started 18 months ago, and they're having really good results. These are for people who have no history in terms of their family or really any awareness of working in a shipyard. But, these are careers. I mean, it's life-changing in terms of the opportunities there. So it was a lot of excitement in the room. And, again, I get asked all the time sometimes because I live up in Vernon. It's like, all you ever talk about is Groton. Well, the fact that Higher Hartford is going to be this new long-term, enduring initiative shows that what's happening, where Connecticut really is the center of this recapitalization of the submarine fleet, really extends all across the state. And so, John Larson was there with me to sort of help sort of kick things off. But you're going to see a lot more, public outreach. And you've seen the ads, submarines.com. Yeah. On all the programs there, but it's going to be we're much more focused in the Hartford region to get people connected to, life-changing opportunity.
Yeah, and I mean, these are good jobs that are careers. There aren't a lot of middle-class paths right now, and this is a middle-class path, and it's important stuff. I mean, we're out of time. Congressman, we appreciate it, and stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks, Brian.